Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates both psychology and scripture studies to help understand the Gospels and seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. Today's podcast is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. This Gospel will be read in churches April 21st, 2024. Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but a good shepherd. Fortunately, Jesus goes on to clarify what he means. Probably, most of us have little or no experience with shepherds, and likely have never met one. If you've ever been to Ireland, Scotland, or New Zealand, you might have seen lots of sheep. But for most of us, sheep and shepherds are simply not a common sight. Shepherds were very much the underdogs of Israelite society. They spent most of their time away from society and so rarely participated in community events. Because they often missed services at the temple, they were often looked down upon by the more religious people. The beautiful story of angels appearing to shepherds, announcing the birth of Jesus, probably raised a few eyebrows. This is not the first time that God is referred to as a shepherd. The most well-known example is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," from the Old Testament. Jesus frequently uses common experiences that the people would recognize and identify with to illustrate key spiritual concepts. In the parables, we read about the lost coin, fish, vines, planting crops, for example. People at this time would presumably have been familiar with shepherds. As I mentioned, Jesus goes one step further and compares himself to someone who is hired to look after the sheep, as opposed to a true shepherd who cares for his sheep. Some scripture scholars suggest that the comment about the hired shepherds might have been a veiled criticism of the Jewish religious leaders at the time. It was important for the sheep to know who their shepherd was. For example, often at night the sheep would be enclosed in the sheepfold. Often there would be many flocks of sheep with numerous shepherds who would take turns protecting the sheep. In the morning, the shepherds would call out their sheep by name and lead them to the fields to be fed. A sheep that did not know their own shepherd was a problem, as it was at risk of being lost or falling prey to wolves or other predators. It is believed that when a lost sheep was found, it was not uncommon for the shepherd to break one of its legs, bind it, and carry it back to the flock. There are many pictures, and statues of a shepherd carrying a lamb over his shoulders. The lamb would be with the shepherd while its leg healed. During that time, it would learn the smell and the voice of the shepherd. By the time the leg was healed, the lamb would recognize the voice of the shepherd, and in some cases, even the smell of the shepherd. The sheep would hopefully follow the shepherd now more closely rather than get lost. Just to be clear, I'm not saying that God will spiritually break our legs in punishment for our spiritual wandering. No. I am simply agreeing with much of the current research that suggests that some trauma may play a role in spiritual and psychological growth. I urge you to check out the book Beyond Trauma, written by Dean Bonora. Studies show that many soldiers, particularly those who have experienced a moderate level of wartime trauma, survive their traumatic experiences with a greater sense of purpose, a deeper appreciation for life, changed priorities, and in some cases, a deeper desire to walk closer to God. Research on veterans who experienced conflict noted spiritual adjustments, new perspectives on life, changes in the direction of their life, and a reduced attachment to material things. Slightly over half of the respondents of the studies reported some form of personal or spiritual growth as a result of their combat experience. Some soldiers specifically stated that they became stronger, more capable of dealing with life's demands, less stressed, and more determined because of their combat experience. I don't believe God creates trauma to foster our growth, but when it happens, we have an opportunity to grow from the experience. Jesus seems to be placing an emphasis on the importance of the shepherd knowing his sheep. The shepherd not only protects the sheep, but knows his sheep. And importantly, the sheep know the shepherd. This metaphor was likely stronger in a society where sheep would be more common. And in our culture, it may not be so obvious. Nonetheless, our relationship with God calls us to know God. How do we get to know God? Well, one, by listening to this podcast, you are, in all probability, desiring to know God more deeply. I encourage you to read and study the Scriptures. I urge you to read books written by known Scripture scholars to gain a fuller understanding of the Scriptures. Jesus also makes references to other sheep who are not part of the flock. It's noteworthy that Jesus talks about all the sheep becoming one flock. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, didn't come for just one group of people, but for all. Just a few more closing points about this gospel that'll probably lead to more podcasts is the sense that Jesus gave his life willingly and that he has the authority to pick up his life again. Jesus knows you. There is nothing you can say that God does not know already. It's important to remember that the sheep were utterly defenseless and dependent on the shepherd for protection. The sheep would only survive under the watchful eye of the shepherd. There were many dangers from wolves, thieves, lack of water and food. These were all potential threats to the sheep. This gospel is still relevant today as there are many threats to our faith in this world. This is not the only passage where Jesus uses the image of the shepherd to describe his role among the people. In John chapter 10, verse 7 to 10, Jesus describes himself as the gatekeeper. I mentioned earlier in this podcast that many of the shepherds would put their sheep in a large enclosed meadow. The shepherds would take turns sleeping at the gate so they could ensure no intruder would get in and that no sheep could leave. This image has been used by Jesus that one could enter, but they had to if they followed Jesus. I would like to propose another interpretation to give you some background. As a psychologist and a priest, I often see people projecting their expectations and needs onto Jesus. For example, some have a hard time trusting God because their trust has been broken in relationships, or they have a hard time experiencing a loving God because they have not felt loved growing up. They will quote Scripture, usually out of context, in order to support their interpretation. I think I've previously given you the quote from one of my seminary professors, "God created us in His own image, and for the last 2,000 years, we have been returning the favor." I've recently learned this is, in fact, a quote from the great French philosopher Voltaire. I have to admit, I think Voltaire is correct here. Focusing on Jesus and the type of person Jesus was gives us a better insight as to who God is. There is less risk of projecting our own projections on Jesus. Don't focus too much on the words, but rather the point that Jesus is trying to make. Don't avoid passages in the Gospels that seem hard to understand, or just don't fit into your understanding of Jesus. There may be something new for you to learn about Jesus. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of John, who uses the metaphor of the vine and branches to describe our relationship with God. If this is the first time you've heard my podcast and you're interested in hearing more, I urge you to listen to my podcast listed on my website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link is https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. I'd also like to take this opportunity to welcome Heather Patel Doherty, who, with her skills in social media, will be assisting us in promoting this gospel. She'll be joining Mr. Richard Coulomb, who has graciously agreed to review this podcast. Thank you, Richard, and welcome, Heather. If you have any questions or concerns, I can be reached by email at peter.doherty@gmail.com. That's peter.doherty@gmail.com. God bless and have a great week.